Amen. I had the privilege to, I was in Texas for working at a church last summer and went to visit a couple, Brother and Miss Bailey, Brother Euless Bailey. Brother Euless Bailey was a member of the Miller Road Baptist Church. They had the privilege to hear all the old-time preachers, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., all of them, and a precious old couple. And I think Brother Bailey's probably about 96. I think Mrs. Bailey turned 90. If you put them on the same scale, I don't know if they'd break 200. Just tiny little people. And I went to visit them last year. That song made me think about them, the last couple of songs. And I was visiting with them, and there was a piano there, just a real simple house, and no air conditioner. And that's pretty tough to make it in Texas with no air conditioner. They're just... He's a veteran, and there was a piano there, and I said, Mrs. Bailey, do you play the piano? And Brother Bailey said that she plays the piano. He said she plays for me every day, and his favorite song was the Old Rugged Cross. And I said, I'd like to hear it, Mrs. Bailey. And at 90 years old, she sat down to that little bench and began to play that song, Amen. About the Old Rugged Cross. Boy, we better be real careful that we just don't stray from that. Boy, I'll be in a service like this and sing these songs, and I just grieve. I just wonder how many kids will never hear these songs like this. In the churches that they go to, they'll never hear these wonderful, great songs. Amen. So enjoy it. Don't get so used to it. Amen. And think about it and let it bless your heart. And that was wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Brother Angel, for the chance to be here with you. I've enjoyed being the Christmas evangelist. I'm going to put that on my resume. Amen. One of his titles is the Christmas evangelist. Amen. So that's pretty snazzy. Amen. I like that. And please go by the table, pick up our prayer card, pick up a couple of the cards that we have about the station. Check us out every now and then. Amen. We really love the radio ministry. I remember Dr. Runyon. Brother Runyon told me, he said, I really, of all the places that he preached and pastored, he said, I never really felt like I had real contact with my community without having a radio broadcast. He said, I just feel like that was how I had contact with my neighborhood, my people. And it's a wonderful ministry. My pastor, Brother Mike Lamb, he said, when you just stop and think about the lack of truth everywhere, then you'll understand. He told me, he said, that's why I'm so sold on it, because I know the lack of truth. So knowing that station is preaching the truth, it just means that much more to me. Amen. So we love the radio ministry, the radio station. It's a great, great ministry. And I was looking at these kids playing the fiddles a while ago. Man, we need to get them kids to the West Virginia. Amen. And let them do a little fiddling. All right. You know what the difference between a fiddle and a violin is? A violin, you carry it in a case. A fiddle, you carry it in a toe sack. Amen. So anyway, let me ask you to take your Bibles and look to the book of Romans and the 7th chapter. I don't know if you had a chance to go by and meet my wife. Amen. We'll celebrate our 38th. Is that right? 38th anniversary. And I tell you what, the greatest blessing in my life was my wife. Just a greatest, greatest blessing. And I just can't even imagine, really, spending my life without her. Just the biggest, hugest blessing in my life. And thank the Lord that she was able to come. And I go home a lot of times and I talk about all these neat, great churches. And I just have appreciated these several years now. She's been able to go with me to be in these wonderful churches and experience all this. And thank you for letting us come today to be your Christmas evangelist. Romans chapter 7, let's all stand together if you're able to stand. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at the 22nd verse of Romans chapter 7. And I want to read these verses to you, and then you can follow along as I read them to you. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." You may want to underline that word, the inward man. That's what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am." You know, sometimes we just ought to just stop and park right there, because we just we get a little bit too big for our britches. Oh, wretched man that I am. We get impressed with our own spirituality. And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The closer you get to the Lord Jesus, the more you're going to feel like a total wretch. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then the apostle, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, answers his own question. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." What an interesting passage. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we come tonight. Once again, we just thank you, dear God, for your abounding love and mercy and grace, Lord. We just, whether we look up or down, right or left, forwards or backwards, we just see the tremendous grace and love outpouring, Lord, that you have for each and every one of us. We ask now, Lord, as we look at these verses tonight, that you'll help us to all be honest with ourselves. And Lord, may we allow the Scriptures to work in our hearts and minds as bring us to this reality, Lord, tonight of this, the strengthening the inner man. We ask that you'd save the lost, reclaim the backslider, revive the Christian, strengthen our faith, increase our faith. And we give the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. You know, when I come to this seventh chapter of the book of Romans, to me it's kind of like it serves as a reality check. Because it puts it all in perspective. When I read these words, I have to remember who God used to give us these words. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest soul winners ever. One of the greatest evangelists. We're talking about a dynamic testimony. I mean, if the Apostle Paul lived today, I mean, listen, he'd be backed up for years and years and years, sought after speaker to give his testimony about the change that took place in his life and what he was like before he was saved and how God dramatically changed his life after he was saved. But in all of that, he gives us these verses here. He is a seasoned man of God, a great church planner, a great Christian, a soul winner, a preacher, tremendous. But he gives us insight into this incredible battle that goes on in every one of us here. So when I come to this seventh chapter of the book of Romans, it's a reality check. Amen? It really is. And I think sometimes we think that maybe things might have been a little bit different for them, but they were no different at all. Amen? When we look at this, it shows us the blessings of regeneration by the new birth and through the new birth. Amen? And in Christ. And it tells us that we are all made partakers of the divine nature in Christ. And we're those of us who are born again, we have received new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." So the Bible teaches that upon salvation, a new nature is formed within the soul of man. There's a verse that's controversial to some people only because they don't understand it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed," listen to it, "for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." A lot of people get tripped up on that. But you have to remember that this new man that is formed once we get saved, it is a miraculous work of the Holy Ghost of God. It originates not with man, but with God. It's a spiritual work that happens in the heart of a man. The Holy Ghost of God changes the heart of man from being natural at enmity with God to begin to love God. And he implants holy desires and holy affections within the heart of a man. Amen. That new nature, that new man is formed within the soul. That Christ in me and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That new man, he cannot sin. But Paul brings us back to reality, but I'm living the life in the flesh. And that's where the problem is. And that's what I have to remember. Amen. So with this in mind, look to Romans chapter 7, and look what he says here. We're going to go up to, we're going to go up to verse number 14. Now I want you to notice, as I'm reading these verses to you, I want you to notice the tremendous struggle, the back and forth that the Apostle Paul is explaining. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. Now, I'm a realist, and I know that you and I are no different. Now, this is a wonderful church. But I know that every single one of us struggle with this. So we got to be reminded of this here. Amen. Look what he says in verse number 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Now please remember who God used to give us these words. The Apostle Paul. One of the greatest soul winners. You talking about a church planter, he was a church planter. I mean, you talking about a man, he said, and God led him, so we know that he's not lying, but he said, "I have suffered the loss of all things."
And yet we have this, he is explaining to us through his own personal life, this incredible struggle that takes place between the spirit and the flesh, the new man and the old man. He says, we're going to pick it up in verse number 6. If then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. In other words, I want to do what's right, for the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So that's what he was seeking to learn, and that's what we all ought to seek to learn. Amen. So he goes on in verse number 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, doesn't that kind of like bless your heart? So we know that we're not oddballs. We know that, listen, that we're not the only ones in the world that struggle with this doing the things that I don't want to do and having such a hard time doing the things that I want to do. I mean, when you realize who God used to give us these words, man, it's like a refreshing to us. Amen. It just helps us. Because the devil wants to beat us on it. Wants to beat us up on these things here. So it's just telling us here that, you know, that we're not hopeless. We're not hopeless cases. Amen. And he says, what verse was I in? Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then he goes on in these great verses, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Amen. You see, it is the delights and the desires of the inward man, the new man that's created in Christ Jesus, that has a desire for the Word of God. Amen. He has a hunger for the Word of God. He, that new man, amen, he is the one that has a desire to commune with God in prayer. Amen. He is the one that wants to share the gospel. He wants to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. He wants to be given his tithes and the offerings of the local church and give to the Christmas evangelist. Amen. That inward man, he's the one that says, love your wife. Show affection to your wife. Love your children. That, he wants that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But then Paul says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. So he is talking about this struggle that every person faces, young and old, everyone. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, there were people that yesterday they said, I'm going to church in the morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church in the morning. That was the inward man. Amen. The spiritual man. He was saying, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to get my family ready and we are going to go to the Faith Baptist Church of Bourbonnais. Isn't that amazing, that name, Bourbonnais? I told the Sunday school class this morning, and Kim and I were flying here from Clarksburg. We have a direct flight from our little town of Clarksburg to Chicago. And the stewardess looked at my wife and I and she said, where are y'all going? I said, we are going to Bourbonnais. She says, oh, Bourbonnais. She said, that sounds like an exotic island. Where is that? I said, it's just south of Chicago a little ways. And then she went, oh, yuck. Amen. Oh, yes. An inner man, that inward man, we gotta know what we're up against. Amen. They said, I want to go to church. I want to be in church. I want to go to Faith Baptist of Bourbonnais. And then last night, they intended to be here. Well, they got up this morning. They woke up.
And those covers felt so nice. And that bed was so comfortable. Oh. And the inward man was saying, get up, you lazy rascal. Get your family up. Get ready and go to church. But the flesh was saying, oh. These covers feels too good. It's snuggle in that bed. And you know what? The old man won. He says, he answers the question in verse number 27, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, what took place was they let their flesh tell their mind what to do, instead of allowing their mind to tell their body what to do. So somehow, some way, we have got to find a way to strengthen the inner man. The inner man. Amen? So it seems necessary for each of us to engage in some kind of a strength training for the inner man. Now, physical strength training is a type of physical exercise that specializes in the use of resistance to induce and to induce muscular contraction, which builds the strength and anaerobic and endurance and the size of skeletal muscles. So there are many people that know how to strengthen the body with a physical strength training. But what we have to learn to do is how to gain strength for the spiritual man, the new man. Amen. And all through the Bible, God uses things in the physical world to teach spiritual truths. All through the Bible. Farming, men have been farming the same basic principles all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. You have to have a seed, and you have to put the seed in the ground. And then with the blessings of God, with some warm sunshine and some moisture and what you need in that soil, then bow! It sprouts up, the sprout comes up, the roots go down, and then you have a crop. Now, the way that crops are harvested has changed miraculously. I remember talking to Mrs. Angel's dad about farming. I didn't know this, but he was raised farming. And he told me, he said, I remember when we used to grow corn in 24 squares. It would be a 24-inch square. We'd put two or three seeds in the middle of that. And then that's the way it was. That way we could harvest it this way and harvest it this way. Brother Christner said, I remember when we were introduced to planting crops in a row. And when we learned to plant crops in a row, he said it just multiplied our ability, our productivity. So people have been grazing crops the same way. But the way we do it has changed. Amen. So God uses terms like farming terms like sowing and reaping to teach us about giving. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Women, mothers have been having babies the same way going all the way back to the book of Genesis. Now the conditions on how they're delivering babies has changed. But it's the basic thing there. And if you're a father and of course, a mother of children, you know about those contractions. You know when that child is being ready to be delivered, how those contractions become closer together and more severe. Well, God takes that thought and he likens it to prophecy. You see, he takes the things of the physical world to teach us a spiritual truth. So he says, as the coming of Christ draws nigh, it's going to be these exponentially, they're going to increase. They're going to become louder, stronger, closer together. Amen. And we see the development of these things here happening before us. Amen. Exponentially, louder, more visible. We can connect the dots. Amen. We're not in the darkness. We can see what this world and how this world is going. And we know what it all stands for. Amen. Because
God uses the physical world to teach us spiritual truths. So if you can engage in strength training for the body, then how do you gain strength training for the new man, for the spiritual man? So that's what we're going to look at tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He says to women, 1 Peter chapter 3, 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. He says to young people, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So how do we strengthen the inner man? Remember, Paul said, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And he gave us all of those verses on when the things that I want to do, I have a hard time doing them. The things that I don't want to do, I find it very easy to succumb to that. So he's talking about this incredible struggle that every one of us face. Every one of us. There's no Christian supermen here. Amen. There's no wonder women witnessing whatever. Amen. I better just chalk that one as a knower. Amen. That ain't going to work. Amen. The truth is, we all have got to find a way to strengthen this inner man. I want you to take your Bibles and look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. And I want you to listen to these verses. Follow along. I'm going to read them to you and you're going to see it. He says this to us. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. So are we in context? Amen, we are. The outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Remember, we want to know how to strengthen the inner man. The inner man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the apostle is teaching us here, if we're going to learn to strengthen the inner man, amen, then we have to realize these afflictions that we're going through, there's a purpose behind them, amen. And he's saying to us, listen, you better wake up because, he says here, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if you're going to engage in strength training for the inner man, you've got to learn to look at the things that really matter. Because the Bible says, listen, he says here, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've got to learn to look at the things that really matter in this world. The things that we do see in this physical world, they're going to burn up. But the things that we can't see in this world, they are forever. They are eternal. Now, this is a beautiful pulpit that I'm standing behind here, Brother Angel. This is a beautiful pulpit. It's solid wood. Amen. I'm so glad that he doesn't have a plexiglass pulpit. Amen. This is a pulpit of wood. It's a beautiful pulpit. Now, one day, at one time, this pulpit was nothing but trees in the woods somewhere. And a lumberjack went into the woods and he cut the trees down. And with a skidder, they hauled them out of the woods and took them to a sawmill and they cut them up into planks. And then a cabinet maker, a carpenter, a skilled man took those planks and made this beautiful pulpit. Now, be truthful. One of these days, as beautiful as this pulpit is, it is going to burn down to the ground. This pulpit is going to burn up. But what has been taught and preached from behind this pulpit, which you cannot see, is eternal. So if you're going to engage in strength training, then you have to learn to look at the things that really matter in this world, because the things that are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal.
And I tell you what, we spend a lot of time on things that are going to do nothing but just burn up, and it's going to become a pile of ashes. My relationship to the Lord. My relationship to my family. My relationship to other people. Those are the things that really, really matter in this world. And we have a short time to live on this earth. So we better make sure that we're giving our attention to things that matter. If you're just wrapped up in the things of this world, all of those things are going to burn down because they're temporal. So the inner man is made strong when I learn to look at the things that really matter in this world. Look with me to Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Now, I know this is going to seem so simple to you, but you just listen to the words and you're going to pick out the words. You're going to see them. And you're going to be able to make an application. And you're going to just see that Brother Oliver didn't just toss this together here. This is a relevant study for each of us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Look what the apostle writes. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. There it is. You see, we know how to strengthen the outer man. Bench press, military press, all of those things are strengthen the body. And that's important, that, amen, especially the older you get, because that muscle mass and that strength, it helps you with balance, amen. As you get older, those things are very important. And as you get older spiritually, you better make sure that you are gaining some spiritual strength here. Amen, spiritual strength. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now this is the second time he mentions the love of God and connecting it to strengthening the inner man. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So here's the point I'm making. If we're going to engage in strength training, number one, we've got to learn to look at the things that really matter. I guarantee you, listen, the altar could be full tonight. Listen, the Holy Ghost of God is already preaching to you the message that you need. He's already brought up into your mind what you need to give attention to and what you need to repent of. Don't make me try to guess it and draw it out of you. Why don't you listen to the Holy Ghost of God and listen to His sermon to you? But He says in this second verse here, here's a way to strengthen the inner man. We have to remind ourselves. Now, I know this is so simple. It is so simple. People are going to miss it. But here is the point. I have to remind myself of God's love. When I remind myself of God's love, then the inner man is made strong. Now listen, you can love somebody or somebody can love you and they can reach out to you and they can love you and they can show you love, but love has got to be received. And as a matter of fact, the natural response to love is reciprocation. We love Him. Why do we love God? Because He first loved us. So when we respond to God's love, when we understand it, God does love me. Amen? Do you realize God's love is not affected by my failures? Amen. God's love is not determined by my successes? So, amen. So to be rooted and grounded in God's love, the inner man is made strong. We have to respond. We have to receive God's love.
And when we do that, the inner man is made strong. I am sure right now that I'm preaching to some young people, and I am preaching to some pretty old people, that your life was spared by a lot of heartache in life because your love to your parents, it was so strong that it kept you from going so far into sin because that love. Your parents' love had reached out to you, and you received that love, and it spared you from a lot of sin because of love. Well, when I remind myself of God's love, the inner man is made strong. Now, this is so important for us to grasp because we all know ourselves. We know how unlovely we are, and we know how unlovable we are. We know how we are. So over and over, and listen, remember, we're talking about Paul the Apostle. We're not talking about a wimp. We are talking about a tough man. We are talking about a man that there were children that were made orphans because he hated Christianity so passionately. He held men and women in prison. Remember, this is the man that made havoc of the church of God. So we're talking about a man, and over and over and over again, we can read through the New Testament how all the apostles, they were stirred in their soul because of God's love to them. So when we remind ourselves of God's love, the inner man is made strong. Anybody know what pawpaws are? A pawpaw tree? Anybody know what a pawpaw tree is? Do you know what a pawpaw tree is? Anybody else? Only one? My wife knows what one is. Well, we got a lot of them in West Virginia. They're here in Illinois, too. But it's a real unusual tree. The fruit kind of looks like a pear. Not shaped exactly like a pear, but it's it's kind of the same color of it. And the fruit is odd because if you were to ask me to describe what kind of fruit, what it tastes like, I would have to say it tastes like a mix between a banana and a pineapple. It's really unusual. It's got a bunch of big seeds in it. And a few years ago, there was a bumper crop with pawpaws, and we have a couple of trees in our place there, and there were people were just like social media. They were tearing it up, you know, with all the pawpaw. And they were talking about, ladies were talking about pawpaw bread and all the things that they make there. And I told my wife, I'd like to have some of that pawpaw bread. Find a recipe and cook me some of it. And she did. And I ate it, and I said, sweetheart, stick the banana bread. Amen. They can have that pawpaw bread. Let them hillbillies eat that stuff. I'll take some banana bread. Well, my little granddaughter, Sophia, was visiting us, and I don't remember how old she was. Maybe this is 2 years ago. She was just a little thing. She was talking. She's a chatterbox as it is. I mean, she is a chatterbox. She just chatters and just talks and gibbers and just a talker. And we were out in the backyard. I had a basket, a half a bushel basket with a handle. And we were picking up pawpaws and putting them in a basket. Wow. Somebody ought to make a song like that. Amen. Picking up pawpaws and putting them in a basket. And I'm telling you, it was better than going to Disney World. She was enjoying every second of it. And I was pointing them out to her. Here's some over here. Man, she'd get excited and run over there and pick them up and put them in a basket. And there's some over here, sweetie. And boy, she'd get over there and pick them up. And I mean, we'd picked up a half a bushel, maybe almost a full bushel of pawpaws. And we went over on the back deck, and she had a couple of them out and had some little toys. And she's just got such an imagination. And I was just listening to her little thoughts, her little thought processes, and I was listening to her little chatter, and I was looking at that little tiny frame and just listening to the sound of her voice and her looking at her little fingers and just listening to her talk and her hair. And to be honest with you, I was just literally adoring that sweet little thing. I mean, I was just looking at her like, good night. What kind of a sweet little precious thing is this? And I just was looking at her. And her eyes, she turned over and she looked at me and she made eye contact with me. And she said this to me. She says, Papa, you love me, don't you? And I said, oh, darling, I do. I mean, it was
I was transferring it. I was adoring that sweet little thing. You know, the Bible said that God is love. His very nature, His essence is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Now, there are people right now that the devil literally beats you up. You find no joy in life. Nothing can satisfy you. You are just, you know what you need to do? You need to respond to the love of God. You need to receive the love of God. I'm not making this up. Look at it. We'll pick it up in verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm telling you, listen, we love Him because He first loved us. And we got to come to that point when we realize God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The inner man is made strong when we remind ourselves of God's love to us. You see, you can engage in physical training with the use of resistance, and you can engage in spiritual training, inner man training, when you realize that God loves you and He loves you unconditionally. The reason why some of you haven't come back to God and you haven't rededicated your life and you're not on board and you're not into this thing here and that spiritual man doesn't have any power, because you let the devil beat you up. And Paul said, the inner man is made strong when I remind myself of God's love to me. Then lastly, look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. He says in this passage, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. There it is, the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now look at it, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Here's the point that I want to make to you tonight. The new man, that strength and that inner man, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Remember what Paul said? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. Oh, listen, we have to convince ourselves. We got to think about these things. Amen. And he says, when I remind myself of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the inner man is made strong. So what do I need to remember about Jesus? What do I need to remember about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do I need to remember about Him? What you need to remember about Jesus is this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Hey, do we have any sinners here tonight? Do we have anybody that's committed sin today? Has the devil beat you up with it? Or you just feel sick to yourself about yourself? Then you've got to remind yourself that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Every sin that we have ever committed, past, present, and future, Jesus Christ died for it. I deserve to die and go to hell just like you. But because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross, shed His blood, paid our sin debt. He rose from the grave. Amen. When I remind myself that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. The inner man is made strong. And thank God He didn't stay dead 3 days and 3 nights later. He rose from the grave. Amen.
I was reading an apologist about this. You know, these modernists, they like to have all of these theories about the resurrection, about, you know, the Jesus not being found in the tomb, and they have all these weird ideas on how it happened. One liberal said that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. And then somebody asked him about, well, what about the 500 people that saw him at one time? And he said, oh, they didn't see him. They were just hallucinating. They thought they saw him. And one apologist said, well, if 500 people saw the same hallucination, it might be a greater miracle than the resurrection. Amen. Yeah, I believe that's true. Amen. Thank God he died for our sins. He was buried. And 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the grave. We don't have faith in something fictitious. What we have our faith in is something that occurred. It's undeniable. Jesus died for our sins. Our whole society revolves around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, listen, when we remind ourselves that Jesus died for our sins, then we sing, wow, glory! We think about these words. We read the Bible. We have fellowship. We come to church. And it means so much to us. Amen. Because Jesus died for our sins. I remember when I first started in evangelism, Kim and I, we just would drive ungodly distances from one meeting to the next. You know, just wanting to be busy for the Lord. And I came across this little film that I used to use. Do y'all remember films? Amen. And it was a neat little short film. And I would call ahead when I'd do a youth rally. I'd call and I'd say, listen, why don't you take a Friday night and let's show this little short film in the youth rally. And it was a simple little film. The scene opened up with a man and his wife and a little boy. And the conversation was all about this couple getting ready to have a baby. You could see this woman. She was great with child. And the conversation led you to believe that she could be delivered of this child at any time. And he and his wife were depending on this little boy. If it happened during the daytime that he needed to go, and he told him where to go. And he was a train track operator. Made it very clear. If Mama says, come get me, this is what I want you to do. Do you understand? They went over it. And he said, I can do it. So he went to work, and, you know, the day is going by. You can see the clock moving, and you can tell that one of his assignments, his most important assignments of the day, is coming up. He's got to switch some tracks because the freight train and passenger train are going to be crossing. So the tracks have to be switched. And he's watching the clock, and he knows it has to be done. And all of a sudden, he hears the faint sound of his little boy. And he looks over that way, and he's where he's told him not to come. Don't come this way. Come the trail down the bottom. Don't come down the tracks. And immediately you can see the anguish come over this man's face because he has to make a decision. If he doesn't switch the tracks, a lot of people are going to die. If he switches the tracks, his son's going to be dead. And you can just see the anguish. Well, he makes a decision. He switches the tracks. And the freight train takes his little boy out. And then a caption comes on the screen that said, for God so loved the world that he gave. But here's the difference. When God gave Jesus to pay for our sins, he knew exactly what he was paying for. He knew the sins of mankind. He knew all of them. He knew how horrible and wretched, sick sin. He knew it. And when I remind myself of the love of God, when I remind myself that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the grave, the inner man is made strong. And Paul talked about the struggle back and forth. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things that I want to do, I have a hard time doing them. Sometimes I don't. So I see this struggle going on back and forth.
And then he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he answers his own question, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then with the mind, you see, we got to be in tune. Our mind is important. Amen. He says, "I pray with the understanding. I sing with the understanding." Amen. "With my mind, I serve the law of God. I don't let my flesh tell my mind what to do." My mind says, listen, you may not feel loved, but you are. Your mind will say, "I know my Jesus died for my sins. I know that I need to do the things that really matter in this world." And the inner man is made strong. Prove to me that it's not what it says. You saw the words in every one of those verses. You saw them. I'm not stretching it. I am preaching to you real, life-changing truth. Because some have been so beat up and so discouraged. Because you need to get that inner man strong. And it's just as simple as this. But it's hard to do. Because this flesh, it's a rebel. This flesh is a rebel. And this flesh would rather say, it's comfortable. So your mind has got to say, get your sorry, low-down, dirty carcass out of bed and go to church. Your mind has to say, you got all that time to watch the news, read the news, engage in social media. Get your King James Bible and read it. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Strength training for the inner man. You see, it's easier to... I'm not going too far down, amen. That's physical strength training. Man, that's really... But that spiritual... It's work. How do we know? Look who God used to give us these words. Amen. So then with the mind, I myself deserve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Needs to be some folks come down here and need to say, "Dear God, help me to have the discipline and the character to spend time in the things that really matter in this world. My God, my family, and my neighbors. Dear God, help me to respond to your love. Dear God, help me to always remember my position in Christ is because he died for my sins and rose from the grave. And that inner man will be renewed in strength." I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand together, shall we? I wonder this evening how many of you could say, "Brother Oliver, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. You couldn't talk me out of it. I'm saved, and I know it. Don't have a single doubt. I can go back to a time and place where I know I got born again." Lift your hand up as a testimony. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You know what you're testifying? You're testifying tonight that your sins have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. You responded to the love of God, the gospel. Praise God. Go ahead and put your hands down. How many say, "Preacher, not only have I been saved, but I've also been baptized in deep water, and I got baptized after I got saved." Hold your hand up real high. Saved and baptized. Amen. Isn't that good? Go ahead and put your hands down. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder tonight how many believers would say, "Brother Oliver, pray for me. The Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, spoke to my heart. Spoke to my heart. The inner man, he needs to be made stronger. God spoke to my heart." Hold your hand up real high. Isn't that wonderful? God bless you all. Wonderful. You know what I'd like to encourage you to do here in just a moment? We're going to give the invitation. And it is a chance for you to humble yourself to God. The Bible said that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That's why it's so important, once again, to respond to God. When He works, we respond. We respond to Him. We respond. We respond back to Him. It's a big deal when God shows us these things. It's a big deal. God Almighty has moved on my heart. God Almighty has allowed me to see these things. He has pointed things out in my life. My goodness, we ought to respond to it. And when you respond in humility, God is going to respond with grace. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not even a Christian. If something tragic were to happen to me, I don't even know for sure that I would go to heaven. But I want to go to heaven when I die, and I want to be saved. I need to be saved." And preacher, I truly believe that God is speaking to my heart. I believe that God is drawing me to salvation. Pray for me. Lift your hand up real high and let me have a prayer for you. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that? Make sure that I see your hand. Make sure that I see your hand. Anybody like that? All right. We're going to have some folks to be baptized tonight. If you haven't talked to anybody about it, I hope that you'll come forward and let somebody pray with you about it. The inner man is made strong, and we were shown from the Scriptures on how. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on the invitation. They're going to sing and play for us. And I want to invite every one of you that raise your hand. You respond to God's love, God's conviction, God's wooing, God's prompting. You respond to it. Father, we pray now that you'll help us, Lord. Thank you for our Bibles, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you, dear God, that you love us, Lord, that you don't ever toss us out, Lord, that you don't give up on us. Dear God, that you, Lord, you give us all the ways and reasons how we can be stronger, Lord, and we're just so grateful for it. Help us to believe these truths and to practice them, Lord. And Lord, we would be better soul winners, Lord. If we had that inner man stronger, we'd be better husbands. We'd be better all around. Help us, dear God. Lord, may you get glory in all of it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the folks play and sing for us, and God spoke to your heart, won't you humble yourself tonight and come to the altar here and make your decision for the Lord.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Piano is playing for a little bit here while you think on what we heard tonight and ponder that. A life is not changed because you make a trip to the altar. That is the beginning of the change. The change takes place when you go home and implement what God has spoken to you about. It's so true tonight. And as He said, as He preached through it, it's so simple. But those are the things that the Scripture says strengthens us. So there's no argument with it. There shouldn't be. No debate. Don't let the devil beat you up. To the point where you're ready to give up and throw it in the towel saying, you know what? No. You just need a little bit of strength in that inner man. You learned how to do it tonight. Nothing new. Good old truth. That's not old when it comes to relevance, because truth is always present tense. Right for us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Look this way. I don't know what you do. Do you have a mechanism when you get beat up by the flesh and you're weak? What do you do? I have good music on my phone. Good music. Music that speaks to the soul, not the flesh. And when I get down, and that happens, when I get beat up by the flesh, when I've had a bad time, there is a song that I go to, and it's called "Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus." There's a contemporary song with a similar title that I don't listen to. "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, far surpassing all the rest. Underneath me, all around me, carrying me through the current." I plug into that song, and God's Spirit uses the love of God to do exactly what He preached tonight. You walk away just... The love of God. Man, it's so elementary, but it's not elementary. It's so simple, but it's not simple. It's profound. It's huge. That God loves me in spite of me. Boy, you talk about getting a spring in your step. You need some mechanism. Something that will help you keep your eyes on things that are eternal. That will help you remember how much God loves you. For me, it's a song on my phone that I employ and listen to. That will help you with the last point about remembering that Jesus died for your sins. And although the devil wants to bury you in guilt, Jesus paid the price for that. Now rise up and walk. Man, good stuff tonight. Helpful, helpful, helpful material to go home and help you live for God. Thank you, Brother Areza. I appreciate it.